You'll float too. You'll float too. You'll float too.
You'll float too.
Welcome to the Frustrated Grad Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Hughes, the black dude with red balloons. And I'm welcoming my co-host, writer, movie fan, and seer of movies, Tony Hoffman.
Oh, I could have sworn that was a Tim Curry that I heard.
Yeah, he, I think, like, my lights flickered and, like, all the power went out, so I don't think any audio was coming through from my side, so you might have just been hearing things.
Pennyworth.
Pennywise.
Character. Pennywise.
Duckworth. So what's going on, Tony?
Nothing much. I did not have a chance to go see it.
Shame.
I'll probably see it this week. I assume that you saw it.
Yeah. And since we can't give a full detailed discussion about it, I'll just say that I liked it. And I think it's safe to say it's better than the original.
That's what I'm hearing. It's on track to make about $100 million, which is kind of surprising.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's been such a slow, like, month or two that this is the first thing that finally got me back out to the movies in a while.
Nice. Yeah. I think this and then the Kingsman sequel that comes out, I think, in 2 weeks, I'll see that too.
Yeah, we're finally back into movie season.
The groove.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it was I enjoyed it. Still, to maybe some people's disappointment, even this iteration of it does not contain the infamous child orgy. So
I heard that, like, the twist that was at the end of the original, it's not, it thankfully isn't in this one. Is that what everyone's referring to?
The twist, oh, maybe that's what they were talking about, but
at the end of the movie?
Yeah, so don't expect that, enthusiasts of that type of activity.
Hooray? Yeah.
Yes, I think we can all rejoice that it's missing.
Sweet.
So what did you partake in this week? What, any interesting TV shows you watch, anything like that?
I am actually gearing up for the new TV season, which is pretty much starting up tonight.
Yeah. So what exactly new is coming on tonight then?
Tonight, The Orville, which is getting terrible reviews.
I was really looking forward to that. Star Trek spoof.
Yeah.
When is the actual Star Trek, what is it?
Star Trek Discovery.
Discovery. When is that starting on CBS All Access?
All Access, yeah, which I will not be getting. I assume is that later this month or next month?
I'm assuming it must be
sometime
soon.
I know they kept moving the premiere date.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes. The Deuce, the porn show on HBO.
Wait, what?
They're
what
new
is
prestige
this?
Dramas. I guess it's like New York City in like the '70s.
Okay.
And it's about like the porn industry.
I haven't heard anything about this.
Yeah. I think James Franco is like one of the producers or something. Like, okay. Maggie Gyllenhaal's in it. And, yeah.
It's funny, in this like time where everything gets hyped up and everything gets teasers, I hadn't seen anything about this, so I guess that'll be something to check out.
I have.
All right.
Well, you need to watch HBO and not TV, because HBO is not TV.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not TV. So, yeah, that sounds interesting enough. So James Franco's not in it, is he?
I don't believe.
All right, thank God. Okay, then maybe I can watch it.
I know how you feel, brother. Outlander, The Return on Stars, Top of the Lake for you Elizabeth Moss fans on Sundance.
All right.
Gwendolyn Christie is going to be on it this season from Game of Thrones and Star Trek, or Star Wars, rather. She's going to be in it. So that's what's those are the top picks for tonight, I should say.
Okay. So the interesting, so I guess fall TV season has officially started, because last week we got the premiere of American Horror Story Cult.
Nobody gives a shit about it.
No, I know, because the ratings were down from the previous premiere, but that's their
now,
own
that
fall.
Is something that I had no idea was premiering.
Yeah, so it was the only thing that made me interested is one trailer I saw that it was involving
the Donald like Trump,
Donald Trump presidency. So I was like, oh, that sounds interesting.
The sensitive, like conservative fuckwads are getting all up in arms about it. We can call them snowflakes.
Yeah, which is funny because, like, from one perspective of the show, if you watch it, the things that they're doing is making fun of, like, liberal snowflakes. Like, oh my God, they should have included a trigger warning before those election results. So that's, like, conservative people should be happy about this portrayal because it's showing, like, liberal paranoia and kind of mocking it in a way.
This show just sounds like shit.
Yeah, that's the problem with this. It was, like, that...
Like, this ham-fisted version of, like, what actually... recently happened, but
yeah,
done in such a bad fucking way.
It's like somebody doesn't understand the concept of satire. But that was the thing that I thought I had learned, and I watched that entire horrible season of American Horror Story Hotel, and watched horrible acting by Lady Gaga because I seen all these trailers.
Golden Globe nominated actor.
Yes, whatever. I had seen all these trailers for season 6. It was like, oh, what can it be? Da, da, da. And they were showing all these different possibilities for what the theme of the season 6 could be. And then I turned to it, and it's a stupid ass Unsolved Mysteries parody. So then I just gave up on that one. I was like, you know what? I've learned my lesson. Fuck this season. So I didn't continue on past like the second episode. So I saw this teaser. I was like, well, I know not to try to go and catch up. So I watched this episode, and immediately I could see the seams of their thinking during this episode.
It just sounds like it's going to be a bunch of very broadly painted caricatures of like conservatives and liberals and politicians.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm seeing there. Also, it's very obvious that this is an idea that they had just like in the bank. And they're like, oh, here's another angle we can add to it. It's like you could have easily come up with an idea about a cult of clowns. And then they're just terrorizing the community. But then it was like, oh, well, instead of just having these clowns kill random people in the neighborhood, okay, we're going to have them kill minorities at the start so we can tie this into the racial hatred based on this political situation. So I think it's going to be very easy that they're going to distance themselves from the Trump stuff as the season goes on, because they don't have much of a take on that specific aspect, I don't think. So we're probably just going to see it be a general American Horror Story type of show towards episode 13. And usually they run out of steam way before that anyway. So we'll see.
Yeah, I will never ever watch
it. Yeah, it started to make me think that they were going to give me more notes of American Crime Story, then American Horror Story, but then I learned same old American Horror Story. It's so weird that same guy can be behind The People versus OJ, which was like one of the best seasons of TV I've seen, and then produced so many seasons of American Horror Story, which is consistently the worst season of TV I see each year. So,
Star Trek Discovery premieres on the 24th.
Okay.
Sundays on CBS All Access at 9/8 Central.
In other CBS news, exciting news for me, and maybe some other people out there listening.
Not me.
On the latest episode of Big Brother, Julie Chen announced that they're doing Celebrity Big Brother. They're finally doing it. Like, I'm... like most Big Brother fans, real major Big Brother fans would know Celebrity Big Brother as a show that they do in the UK twice a year with the loosest of loose definitions of celebrities. And that was the first joke that I heard online about this. Like, well, we'll see what kind of celebrities they get to be in this house. And there's,
hey, Pamela Anderson needs work.
Hey, she's already been on Big Brother before. I think she was actually in the civilian version of Big Brother in the UK. She just came and visited for a week. I made my video, I think yesterday I put it out about who I wanted to see in the Celebrity Big Brother house, but I tempered my expectations and I used as a reference, like, Celebrity Apprentice contestants. So, like, okay, this is about the level I know they can reach. If you want to get a celebrity to take time out of their schedule and live in the house for a month or so, because, like, there was speculation whether it was going to be 3 months like the regular Big Brother, which I doubt. So it seems like it's probably going to be cut down like the celebrity one in the UK is, and maybe be about a month, but we'll see. A lot of fake news out there surrounding people going into the house. Like, there's one story I saw earlier today. It was like, oh, Dog the Bounty Hunter in New York from I Love New York is going in. It's just like, it was random guesses.
All of the celebrities from, you know,
of yesteryear.
12, 13 years ago.
Yeah, from the celebrity-ality era of VH1. Yeah, it was just wild speculation disguised as news. Click on the site that they were linking to. It's clearly not a news site. Formatting is all off. So people are getting mad about nothing. The season probably is happening around January. You probably won't know who's actually in there until January 1st. So, anyway.
Well, I know you're going to have your DVR all set for that.
Absolutely. Is there anything that you're excited about TV-wise going forward?
I mean, just looking at some of like the sitcoms and like the network TV stuff doesn't excite me. Like, you have the stupid Young Sheldon show and a bunch of crappy, yeah, like, you know, laugh track sitcoms are going to be. I'm interested in seeing what Star Trek Discovery looks like.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out because Sonequa Martin-Green is a starring role in there, and I'm always a fan of looking at her. So, yeah.
The Gifted. I forgot about that.
Oh, wait, which one? Oh, that's the X-Men one. There's also that show with Craig Robinson and Adam Scott, which is like
Ghosted.
Yeah. That looks funny. It's going to be stupid. Stupid October funny, as my 1st. Mom would say. Like, it's a stupid funny show.
The Marvel's Inhumans, you can watch that in IMAX theaters for some reason before it premieres later this month.
Yeah, people are running out to see that. I wonder how that's going to do with the box office compared to It. But yeah, so. Oh, speaking of sitcoms, you mentioned a little while ago, Bobby Moynihan was also in the Big Brother house this week. Just ahead of the announcement of Celebrity Big Brother, because he was promoting his CBS show.
Me, Myself, and I.
Yeah.
This looks terrible.
It's the sitcom version of that movie Boyhood that won the Oscar. Except for they didn't wait 27 years for each character
to
gauge. It's like
him, an older guy, and then a young kid. So
yeah, like him and John Larroquette from Night Court, and a younger kid playing his young self. So I'm interested. I like Bobby Moynihan, so that's what's bringing me to it. The CBS-ness of it all is probably going to hurt it, but I do like Bobby Moynihan. And after his appearance in the Big Brother house, it made me want to see it even more, because I didn't realize that he was actually like a huge fan of Big Brother. So he was really excited to be there, and he was commenting on the season that had happened so far. It's like, these guys really should have gotten Paul out. So I like that he's a nerd like me.
Just looking at like the commercials for that sitcom, it doesn't look like you're not going to get the sort of like drunk uncle SNL.
I'm not expecting that
SNL
so
Bobby Moynihan that we all know and love. You're going to get like some network sitcom version.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the their angle on it is at least good enough. Because it's weird because CBS is like, I don't know, they just managed to mess up good ideas. Because even that show, I can't remember the name of it, it's the show with the huge family where I think one of the Hanks kids is in it along with Jordan Peele. Life in Pieces, I think is the name of the show. It was a big ensemble show that looked like it was going to be interesting starting out. And
one of the Modern Family, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
Had made it.
Okay, this is what it looks like. So as I was anticipating it ahead of time. Like, oh, Jordan Peele's in it. There should be something good about this. And then for some reason, I just lost interest towards the premiere. And then I saw the tail end of one episode before Big Brother. And I was like, oh, this looks horrible. It's like, okay, I guess CBS'd all over it again. So
the most CBS-y show that's premiering this fall is a show called 9JKL.
Oh, that's the worst looking trailers ever. Like, oh.
Mark Feuerstein from Royal Pains is just,
yeah, this is a great follow-up for that, for him.
As if that was a great show, but
I mean, yeah. I didn't watch any of the USA shows. It's just people in uniforms. Like, hey, does your career involve you wearing some kind of uniform or suit? Then you're going to get a show on USA. People in suits. That's the theme.
The show called Suits.
Yeah, I know. but, like, that, the commercial is, like, so annoying. And I guess the situation of this situation comedy is
that he missed that ensues.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this guy lives in an apartment building where all of his family lives in neighboring apartments. That's hilarious. And I'm sure it's never been done before. Wasn't that pretty much the same idea of like, Everybody Loves Raymond? Everybody lived like exactly. Right next to each yeah. other. And I'm sure there's plenty of other shows with that idea.
They're trying to like, catch a light
room and yeah, just looks like a whole lot of nothing.
I know that you mentioned The Mayor a while back.
I forgot about that show. I saw a commercial for it like last week. I was like, oh yeah, this is a thing. Cause
that actually looks interesting.
It does in a sense, but just like, it's kind of
network TV.
It's kind of a weird way to get into it. It's like, oh, I want to promote my mixtape, so I'm running for mayor. Oops, you won. So I don't know if it has legs past like one season, but we'll see.
But didn't you watch Search Party on?
Yeah, I love Search Party. So that guy is from Search Party. He doesn't really have much of a role in there, just besides being a douche. He was the douche ex-boyfriend of Ali Shawkat's character, and basically he reiterated his doucheness every time he was on screen. So that's all I really know about him. So as a main character, I'm interested in seeing what he can bring to the table.
Do you think there'll be like some Donald Trump parallels in terms of like, you know, stunt campaigns that ends with like an unprepared victory
I think there we'll probably see more of that as the season progresses, because I think this was probably put together before the win, but I could see them drawing those parallels. But I feel like this is more of a, like, I mean, I guess some people look at Trump that way as well, but I think this is going to be more of like a Robin Hood, man of the people type character. Which I don't feel like I'm getting that from Trump, but some people, I guess they do see that. But it'll be like the Bizarro Trump story. People will actually be happy about this win, I'm assuming.
Dynasty on the CW on October the 11th. We all needed another Dynasty.
People are craving this. They're late on this, because I think when people really wanted this the most was like when Empire was at its height. It was like, oh, yeah. Empire is a return to nighttime soaps. So this was when Dynasty would have like really hit. But now Empire has died a horrible death. And now they're coming out with this. So I think.
And there was already like a Dallas revival on TNT a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So I think they've missed the mark on this one. But yeah, I am interested in Broad City, of course, because it's one of my favorite shows on TV. So yeah. I'm excited for that. But yeah, it's been kind of like, you've kind of been reaching for content over this summer, because it was like, there really wasn't much for us on TV aside from, like, we had Game of Thrones. Now that's gone. And pretty much, like, everything else was like, okay, what's on Netflix? Netflix was, like, tiding us over for the summer, at least as far as I was concerned.
You're supposed to get out of the house.
Oh.
Enjoy this warm weather.
Go outside and play. I heard that when I was a kid. I'm grown now. I don't have to do things like that. Demeaning things like playing in the dirt and filth. That is the one thing about the like the young Shelton commercials, like as horrible as they are, I do appreciate that one little joke. Like he goes and pushes the tire swing once and like, there, I played. So I can relate to that. otherwise then that show has nothing for me. So what else is going on in the world? There's a lot of like in terms of what we look for our show, we try to stay light, and a lot of the news has been surrounding Hurricane Irma. It's like that's what everybody's focusing on.
We've gone from H to I, Harvey to Irma.
Yeah, and I think Jose is sweeping up the rear after Irma. So
that's... Where did they come up with these names? I remember like I looked it up once and I don't remember.
Yeah, I think
Wikipedia.
Yeah, I forget. It's interesting that just the naming scheme. I think it's smart because you don't want to just say Hurricane Number 4. It makes it more memorable. It looks better on a breaking news banner on television. So for marketing purposes, I guess it makes a lot of sense. Although I don't feel like if I was in the path of one of these storms, I wouldn't want it to have some cutesy name and be all personified. Like, oh, Irma's coming. Like, that doesn't sound as detrimental to my life as it actually is. Like, oh, Harvey's coming to visit. Like, no, my family members were killed. You need to not make this thing into a person.
Wasn't it originally was going to be like Hurricane Hillary or something, and then people
started really? Making
Hillary Clinton jokes?
I didn't know about that, but that will be very interesting. It would have been even more interesting. I guess either way, it would have been worth a lot of like headlines and think pieces. Like either way, if like with Trump as president and a Hurricane Hillary on the way, would have been a lot of jokes made about that. And also as with Hillary in office, she would have there would have been a lot of conversation about that.
While people are dying and all of their possessions are being destroyed, and...
you're like, huh, it's called Hillary.
Hacky hacky. I'm reading this Time article from earlier in the week. The reason for those names is simple. Human names are easier to remember than numbers or meteorological or jargon.
Yeah.
These days, the World Meteorological Organization maintains and updates 6 alphabetically arranged lists for naming Atlantic tropical storms. Each list has 21 names each, meaning that each name could theoretically get repeated every 7th year. The Geneva-based organization says the system of relying on lists has been in place since 1953. If there are more than 21 storms in the season, then storms start getting names from the Greek alphabet.
Yeah, so Hurricane Omega could be coming after a very intense hurricane season. So they start over every year. So that's interesting. So I can't remember another A hurricane since Andrew. I guess the earlier ones must be really weak. And then, like...
Names of particularly destructive storms are retired out of respect. For example, Matthew, Katrina, Sandy, and Mitch are off the table.
Wait, so they would come back otherwise?
They're off the table simply because of the historic devastation.
So if people died, then we can't use Katrina again, like Katrina
Why
2,
would we
Electric Boogaloo.
Exactly.
Like, it's
it'd
weird.
It'd be confusing.
It's weird because, like, if you're just naming it after a letter of the alphabet, you're never going to run out. So there should be not even a conversation of whether we repeat it or not, because you're not going to see an Andrew too. You could say Albert, Alfred, Al, Alberto. There's so many names, so they shouldn't ever be a consideration.
Do you have any family close enough to the past of Hurricane Irma? I know you have.
I don't have any people in Atlanta. Yeah, I don't have any people in Florida that I can think of. But yeah, my people are in Georgia, northern Georgia specifically. So they're fine. It's interesting. Like, so Irma is down in Florida now. It's interesting that they were describing it. Said the hurricane itself is wider than the entire state, so
yes,
you cannot avoid that. So
you cannot.
Good luck with that, guys.
It already went through the Caribbean, and
yeah, there's a lot of a lot of death toll in the Bahamas. And then Jose, I think, is coming right for the Bahamas after that, and then I think they say Hurricane Katia is hitting Mexico. So very active hurricane season. So we're already at K.
Have you heard of the Facebook page where people are being encouraged to shoot guns at Hurricane Irma?
Jesus Christ. This is not Sharknado. It doesn't work that way. You can't dive into it with a chainsaw and just stop it. Maybe if Superman were to punch it, that would help, but I don't think shooting a gun at it would necessarily do anything.
The shoot guns at Hurricane Irma Facebook page is a very dangerous joke. Florida man, shoot guns at Hurricane Irma. Florida police, please do not. Yeah. Hurricane Irma's deadly flood waters and wind will be hard enough for Florida authorities to deal with, but they've got another problem to deal with: people responding to the hurricane in the most inane, dangerous ways. Perhaps the clearest example is a Facebook group entitled Shoot at Hurricane Irma. The mission is exactly what it sounds like: fire bullets at this windy headass named Irma, as the group's about section puts it. Roughly 27,000 people have said they will attend the event, and another 53,000 have said they're interested. To be clear, shooting guns at a hurricane is a very bad idea.
Yes.
You should not do it.
Shouldn't even be close enough.
One Facebook user, annoyed by the event, created a graph to show, like, you shoot the bullets at the hurricane, the bullets come back. They twirl around at you.
I think it won't be a direct enough path where it'll hit you, but it'll probably hit one of your neighbors. So you don't really want that either.
The event's founder, a Florida man named Ryan Edwards, insisted that the event was a joke. I've learned about 50% of the world could not understand sarcasm to save their lives.
Yeah, Edwards, that's the problem with the internet.
Yeah, and it's like people, whenever like their little hacky bullshit like or like fails miserably, they always say, "Well, people don't understand my sarcasm."
Yeah, they need to, like, so many websites like Twitter and Facebook, they don't allow you to use italics or bold print. So maybe that would help, like, interpret sarcasm, like, hey, wink, wink. But people don't get it otherwise. Like, they're just letters. I take all letters literally. It's not hilarious, but it should be pretty clear that it's not meant to be serious. But, you know, some people... social cues and text don't necessarily they're not synonymous with each other.
Florida gonna Florida.
Yeah. Speaking of people you should not take seriously, Rush Limbaugh, after apparently on his radio show talking about the fact that the warnings about Hurricane Irma were merely I guess some people would call them false flags. Like, it's just a hoax. It's just the criminal liberal media trying to push their climate agenda, and there's nothing to worry about.
Why did he evacuate his whole...
Yeah. So, like, okay, maybe not so much. So maybe don't listen to Rush, because he's clearly full of wind, much like Irma herself.
Rush Limbaugh and people like the Sean Hannity, they're they're talking to their audience only. They're not talking to people with brains. So I don't understand why people like him get media coverage whenever they say dumb shit like that.
Yeah, it's just like they are the literal definition of shock jocks. Like,
yes.
In this era of, like, it used to be like sex and things like that shocked people. And like, oh, but now people have sex for breakfast these days. So now you got to talk about more crazy political issues. Like, the government is trying to poison your water and making the sex for breakfast. That's the next R. Kelly single. I want a writing credit on that. Anyway,
underage sex for breakfast.
He had to go there. He managed to talk about sex in the kitchen without going there. So maybe he can. I mean, I guess cereal is pretty marketed to children. Anyway, but I've lost the plot. But anyway, I've said this is how you shock people these days with wild conspiracy theories. They're turning the frogs gay. They're tainting the water.
Gay frog legs.
Yeah. I do like the new twist I've seen. If anybody looks at the site Clickhole, they now have a partner site or whatever, a sub site called Patriot Hole, where they have their own like Alex Jones type character who's talking about the fact that long-haired feminine men are going to start throwing their long, luscious locks over the border wall to help illegals cross. So there's a whole Rapunzel conspiracy. So I enjoy that.
The Rapunzel conspiracy.
Yeah. You can file that right under Pizzagate and all these other weird Illuminati-ish type theories.
Hey, I got a question. Whatever happened with Harvey, Illinois, and their Hurricane Harvey housing help?
Triple H initiative? I don't know. I haven't kept up to date with that. I hope nobody has taken them up on their offer, because like every time I think about it, it's just like, and I see the houses that they're offering that have been abandoned for years and years now. Like, oh, you get a free house. All you have to do is fix it up. Like, well, all I have to do is fix up my own house, jackass. Like, I can just stay here and wait for the water to recede. So I don't think they've had too many takers, and I hope they don't. I don't want the people of Houston, Texas, baby, to be subjected to that.
No.
It's not a good deal. Maybe somewhere there's a Harvey in Louisiana, but I feel like that probably wouldn't be much of an upgrade as far as hurricane relief goes. I'm not sure how far south it is, but I'm assuming Louisiana's pretty low across the state, so Harvey, Louisiana, probably isn't much of a better option. I don't know of any other Harveys, but if they're out there, then
Harvey Dent.
Yeah, I'm sure their landscape looks a lot like Two-Face now. Some people's houses are half destroyed, and then they can live in the other half. You know, straight up Harvey Dent style.
I have a question, Zach. When was the last time you've been to McDonald's?
I don't know. I actually been pretty good. I'm actually proud of myself. I can say it's been like maybe a little over 2 weeks.
Well,
there's been times where I've gone 6 or 7 times in a week, but thankfully I can not say that now.
Thankfully you didn't go to McDonald's at the same time that a man threatened the McDonald's staff with his penis in one hand and a knife in the other.
Which one is more dangerous?
Depends on how sharp and pointy
his penis is. Okay, his penis and a butter knife. That's there's the challenge. I think that's like, that should be an SAT question. Like, man walks into a McDonald's holding his penis and a butter knife. Which, if you're going to disarm him, which arm do you attack first?
A homeless man terrified McDonald's staff in Devon. I think this is over in the UK.
Yeah.
But he began waving his penis around with one hand and a knife in the other. It worked, James.
They're
right.
Probably being generous when they say waving, but especially
flopping.
Being a European man. But
Edward James Wright had already threatened staff at a nearby petrol station, gas station, and held someone up at knife point before he got to the St. Austell McDonald's. Wright pleaded guilty at a Truro Crown Court to charges of robbery, possessing a knife, assault, criminal damage, and exposure.
It's interesting prosecutor, they say he held someone up at knife point, or he could have held them up at penis point, but I guess... I guess he waited to.
What would he shoot him? What would he shoot them with?
I don't know. I don't want to find out. I'm just picturing that standoff. Like, you know, usually they'll have somebody with either a knife to their throat or a gun to their head. I wonder how like the maneuvering that would have
to someone's hip. Or?
I don't know. It'd be a logistical nightmare. But
prosecutor Jason Beal described how Wright chased the man he had tried to mug to McDonald's at 6:30 a.m. on August 28th. He said the defendant approached and began banging his knife against the window. He appeared to damage his knife, and in response to that,
has a lot of misleading sentences, like banging his knife against the... Okay, this is like I'm always anticipating the other shoe to drop.
The defendant then took his penis out of his trousers and began waving that around to the people who were inside. Wright then smashed the front door window and then assaulted the restaurant manager, which led to staff being forced to lock the doors. Wright was arrested by the police after the incident at 6:30. On August 28th, he appeared in court. He had been convicted in 07 of possessing a knife. On the day of the attack, he had not taken his medication for bipolar disorder and had been drinking alcohol the previous night. He had very little recollection of what happened, but he has no wish to dispute what the witnesses say.
No, I don't think you would. But yeah, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Mr. Wright does accept that everybody who was there and saw him had the potential to be terrified by what was going on. He said he is very sorry for the fear and upset he caused on that day.
All right.
Well, good for him. Good that he realizes what he did, and hopefully he'll take his meds and stop drinking and never do it again.
Yeah, that's a heck of a rock bottom to hit to make you realize maybe I have a problem. But yeah,
that is one. He had a knife in one hand and he had a McDouble or not a Big Mac. Sorry,
I guess it's probably McMuffin? More of a nugget.
Yeah,
it's more of a McNugget right there.
Trying to figure out which McDonald's product to compare to.
It's most phallic. I mean, when you look at that pink slime, that's probably like what someone experiences before prime time, I guess you would say. Like, yeah, don't worry, baby. The nugget's coming. It's just I got to work out this pink slime first.
McFlurry.
Speaking of replacements in terms of food replacing sexual things, you know what substitute for semen in the new HBO show The Deuce? They're actually using potato soup.
Oh
yeah,
they're actually gonna show that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so get ready for that.
I shouldn't be surprised. It's HBO.
I mean, I should have. I mean, I guess that makes sense. And now when you think of the fact that it's edible, who knows what kind of scenes we're going to see in this show. Like normally I would see, like, you wouldn't put too much thought into it. Like, okay, maybe, like, some lotion with water mixed in. But then it's like, okay, they use something edible. So that means...
Gotta get the right texture.
And plus, depending on the application, that means somebody might be consuming said product, but we shouldn't go any further into it. We don't want to have a whole Exorcist conversation here.
I have bad news. James Franco is going to be on the show. And he's playing twin brothers. One,
I think I have seen this then.
Now, the other, a gambler in debt to the mob.
Now that you mention it, so that's The Deuce?
Yes.
I forgot that was involving porn. That doesn't, I mean, I guess I have to check it out. It's HBO. So I've come to expect a level of quality from them, not necessarily from James Franco, but this is
there is good news. David Simon and George Plekanos, the guys behind The Wire, are behind this one. So
okay.
Yeah.
So hopefully they, unlike The Wire, hopefully they don't do a season of The Deuce that entirely focuses on kids, because that wouldn't really be appropriate. But it's kind of the opposite of how I feel about the Me, Myself, and I shows. Like, I like Bobby Moynihan, but I don't like the network. With this one, it's like, I like the network, but James Franco. Why, he has an actual brother. Why doesn't he use his brother instead of playing twins? I don't know. His brother's probably going to be involved as well.
But God.
Those dim damn Francos.
Guess what else comes on tonight that I completely had no awareness of? The Miss America competition.
Really?
Hosted by Chris Harrison and Sage Steele.
Chris Harrison from The Bachelor?
Yes.
That's weird. I guess he's used to wrangling multiple women. But it seems as the association there doesn't really work as far as women empowerment.
It's kind of wholesome, and then you get the nasty-ass Bachelor who's kind of trashy. It's like
this symbol of misogyny. Hosting this show that's supposed to be about empowering women and giving them college scholarships. It's like, hey, broads, get on the stage. Like, oh, the loser gets to date this guy. So the winner gets a college scholarship. Loser gets to be impregnated by maybe a famous athlete.
That'd be worse.
Yeah, so there you go. Congratulations. But yeah, so I don't know what to watch. Is it going to be, because The Deuce starts tonight, right? So is it
Deuce starts tonight?
So am I going to watch somebody spray tomato or potato soup on another person? Or am I going to watch a show that I know many people across the country will be brewing up tomatoes, potato soup themselves while they watch it? I don't know.
I know, but potato soup actually sounds like less appetizing than the stuff it's supposed to be substituting.
Well, yes. All right.
You could watch, let's see. All right, I mentioned Top of the Lake on Sundance.
Top of the Lake.
Top of the Lake.
Wasn't that like the title of that one of those last Game of Thrones episodes, Top of the Lake? And then we saw the White Walkers walk on top of the lake. Hopefully it's something like that.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we also got Teen Wolf. Aren't you excited for that tonight?
I haven't seen a single episode of that. That seems... it's such a bastardized, like...
Yeah, it doesn't seem anything like Teen Wolf.
It has nothing to do with Teen Wolf other than it's called Teen Wolf.
It looks more like a Twilight series.
Michael J. Fox playing basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's surfing on top of a car. None of
it's another example. Let's take this name of a familiar property to get people to watch it. Exactly. Something they'd otherwise wouldn't watch.
Yeah, the only good version of that has been done recently is It. I'm like, okay, you know the name. Let's redo that again. At least they had a low bar to reach over. But
yeah, because it wasn't like I vaguely remember the two part movie.
Miniseries.
It wasn't like that was the miniseries. It wasn't like it was like a masterpiece.
Yeah, that was the thing, and it was like I realized that more watching reviews of the current It, because like I saw the original miniseries like when it first came on. I was probably like 5 years old, and I saw it again when I was a little bit older. But like I remember it being super scary. But like seeing people tear it apart in reviews of the modern version of it, like, oh, the first one was just horrible. I was like, I remember being terrified, but I was a child. So, like, I have to take that into account. But
because even the director said that the part two is awful.
Yeah, and I didn't realize how much of it was flashback, because I remember it being, like, kind of like the current interpretation. Like, I remember a distinct part focusing on the kids and then a part focusing on the adults. But apparently it's just like the adults mainly throughout both parts, just like with a bunch of flashbacks to them as kids. So I think the structure of how they did it this time is a lot better. Also, spoiler alert slightly, this is not the last one. Because at the very end of the movie, they say It Chapter 1. So I'm going to actually be sad to see the children, the child actors go away in part 2. I'm hoping they still have some kind of presence in it. But, like, I don't know if any of the any adult actors they can get to replace them would have the same, like, charm as the cast they used this time. But we'll see.
Are you going to be watching NFL kickoff today?
Oh, yeah. I love the sports balls. That's the it's my favorite
I'll
thing.
I'll be watching.
I love footy, and I love a good game of hand egg. I'm all about that sports. Yep, that's me.
Send some sarcasm.
People don't understand sarcasm on the internet. So I'm not being sarcastic, wink.
I can feel
don't
the,
understand.
The bold lettering in the italics and the quotation mark.
Yeah, I need to tuck in my italices. I'm going to be watching my sport tonight, which is Big Brother. That's my game of choice.
Nobody wins, though.
Oh, somebody wins. The winner is very predictable for this season, but somebody's going to win. Yeah. Also, we have Fear the Walking Dead, because I know everybody, that's everyone's favorite show. Like
water cooler.
Walking Dead be damned. Give me that fear. I can't get enough.
Hey, Ballers, the show that everybody skips away from when the Game of Thrones ends is also continuing its season.
I've seen one episode of Ballers, and it was way too entourage-y for me, because like
Axe, I mean, body spray, and roofie drugs.
Yeah, if the show was broadcast in Smell-O-Vision, then it would probably be very axed out in my living room. Yeah, I like The Rock. That's another thing. So I guess HBO can't save everyone. So it makes me even less hopeful for Deuce, because like, hey, The Rock is in this and it's on HBO. This is bad. So,
I just don't understand, like, why do people who make shows like that, like Entourage and Ballers, why do they think that the public wants to know anything about that world or those kinds of people?
I think you can ask the same question to Adam Sandler and friends, and you can ask, why did anybody want this show grown-ups to be, this movie grown-ups? Like, it's just a bunch of famous people on vacation making jokes every couple of minutes. Like, this was just an excuse for you to take this vacation.
Craziness.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what, it's just like a celebration of excess. Like, look at all the stuff you can't have, people. I'm spraying champagne on this broad that costs more than your rent. But, you know, some people enjoy that type of stuff. Mark Wahlberg in particular.
I'm not a big Mark Wahlberg fan simply because of, like, his whole
he blinded
life.
An Asian man? That's one reason.
Yeah. Hey, if he were on that plane that one of the planes that crashed into the
he would have totally stopped it. Yeah,
exactly. He would have saved us all.
He would have killed those filthy terrorists and then grabbed the steering wheel and turned that plane, flown it all the way to Iraq, and then crashed into their major economic center.
Sacrificed himself.
Or Afghanistan. And, you know, speculation is out of where those
brown people.
Talking about specifically where the terrorists came from. I think they're linked to Afghanistan, but somehow Iraq had to get some bombs too, you know, for good measure.
I can't believe you went to go. You were one of the many people that gave it 118 million, but you didn't go to see Home Again.
Reese Witherspoon.
Nancy Myers' daughter directed that movie.
I don't even know Nancy Myers.
He's the director of all the shitty rom-coms, like Something's okay. Gotta Give, and What Women Want. And
I don't think I've seen any of those.
The Intern.
Is The Intern, is that the one with Robert De Niro as an intern for Google? Yeah, that was, I was waiting in line the first day for that one.
Her movies usually involve lots of rich, entitled white people and gorgeous kitchens with interior decorating and lots of romantic problems and rich white people.
That sounds exactly like what I need right now. Like, that's the perfect thing to take my mind off of my troubles, is to watch some rich white people have rich white people problems. It's the it's so relatable. It's like, makes me feel like I'm at home.
Hey, it's home again. The trickle down effect, or whatever those Republicans talk about. It's like, if you make them rich and powerful, it'll trickle down to us poor.
Yeah, but I'm still waiting. Like, I'm all the way down in the basement, and nothing has trickled down here yet. So, I think the only thing that they trickle down on us isn't money, but it's heavy, just to say. You know, poop rolls downhill. Anyway, I wonder what's going on with the Southern White House in this path of Hurricane Irma.
People were making jokes. They were. I saw somebody made like a little map of like where the Mar-a-Lago is, and they had like a little arrow pointed where the hurricane was coming. Like, this is your target. Go here.
Yeah, like Irma, engage. So it's a lot of people out there who aren't necessarily focused on the box office. I wonder, like, that probably hurts certain movies, like these major hurricanes. Like, everybody's diverting their other funds, like, either to, like, people who aren't in the path of hurricanes are donating. People who are in the path of hurricanes, like, there is no theater to go to. So I wonder how much money it would have made in another time, in a better weather season.
Those damn hurricanes costing the movie studio money.
Yeah, I mean, the power of them was so fierce that you could actually see it in the movie. Like, during that opening scene, Georgie couldn't even keep track of his boat because, like, flood waters were sweeping it into the sewer. So, you know, lucky that that friendly clown was under the sewer, just there to lend a helping hand. You know,
did you have any people who were actually dressed up as
Pennywise? Pennywise with no, the I would have left the theater immediately.
I saw like pictures people were posting of like people, like, they were showing up at the theater and there was like one person sitting there with their balloon and like creepy.
I've seen like Instagram posts of like somebody will find like a red balloon tied to a sewer. It's like, oh, that's creepy. I don't like, yeah, if I saw that, I would not be seeing a movie in that theater that night. I wonder if all that like stuff with the clowns like a year ago, like roving bands of criminal clowns, if that was viral marketing. It seems to have died down, I think, or at least I haven't. My clown alerts haven't gone off recently. But yeah, I don't, with that still fresh in my mind, I would avoid any clowns I see these days, just for general reasons, but also because of craziness. So maybe this new season of American Horror Story is going to trigger that for a lot of people, because they talk about a lot of phobias. And fear of clowns is definitely one of those that's going to be explored there. Also, they talked about a phobia that I had not known was a real thing. I know a couple people that have it, but like, I hadn't heard of it addressed like this. Like, people who don't like seeing a bunch of little like holes. Like, have you seen any of those videos where people pull off like beauty masks and they do like close up of their pores? Like, I know a couple of people who would probably scream and or vomit if they saw that close up. A lot of phobias out there to be to be aware of and be sensitive to. Maybe the Lego over my shoulder that has all those little dots on it, maybe that's triggering somebody right now. If so, I apologize. I'm sorry. But yeah, any other things you want to touch on before we wrap up the show? I'm trying to think, what is there anything interesting going on in the world of wrestling? Because there tends to not be.
You got your John Cena, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I think it's getting worse by the week, that feud, by the way. Like,
it just exposes just how awful Roman Reigns is.
It exposes how awful they both are, because like their first promo war, or whatever you want to call it, John Cena points out that Roman Reigns is a cheap-ass, corporately created John Cena bootleg, but John Cena was a cheap-ass, corporately created Hulk Hogan bootleg, you could say, or just a corporate product in general. So it's like one... Like how I described it when I was talking about it in my frustrated wrestling fan videos, I said, this is the WWE writers dissing themselves, because like they created all of this and they're pointing out holes in their own writing. Like, hey, we didn't write a very good character, so let's write another character to tear that guy down.
Yeah, that whole that promo with the Cena and Reigns the first time.
Yeah.
Right.
This is like you're pointing out your own flaws. like the writer's like, oh, we're not able to get this guy over, so let's completely abandon ship and throw the guy under the bus for our terrible writer. Yeah, it's like that's pretty crappy. But yeah, so that feud annoys me as much as they want to make it like Cena Rock 2 or 3. It's not that so much, because like on this side, both people are Cena, and I'm not rooting for either. I mean, I do personally like Roman Reigns better. I think as a guy, I would probably be more interested in him if they did like the Stone Cold version of his character and just let him talk like he probably talks in real life. Like, I'm assuming he and his cousins, the Usos, probably all act similarly. And I think the Usos are playing themselves pretty much now. So I wouldn't mind Roman doing the same thing.
If you heard Roman Reigns on the Chris Jericho podcast, his episode during the summer, he was very funny. He definitely came off like a cool guy. It's so unfortunate that you don't get that on air during his wrestling.
Yeah, they like to have him say things like suffer and succotash and
Stuff like he's the
big dog.
It's his yard.
He's the guy, because there's no name that looks better on a marquee than the guy, Roman Reigns.
Nobody talks like that. Nobody says, this is my yard, I'm the big dog.
No, because the only person who said that previously was Undertaker, and that was one of his worst periods in wrestling. Like, He was
Biker Taker.
Yeah, Biker Taker. This is my yard. Boy, I'ma make you famous. Like, no, this was the worst Undertaker. Like, go back to not talking, and then every once in a while saying, rest in peace. But you know what? They decided they want Roman to be part John Cena, part Biker Taker. They're taking the DNA from all of their best/worst products and putting them together.
So I haven't been following the Global Force stuff. So are they, they're officially like up to sale?
Yeah. So it was a very weird thing. And,
Jared left. Jared.
And for anybody who's put off by a wrestling talk, prepare to be really put off by a wrestling talk about a company nobody gives a shit about. Yeah. So Jeff Jarrett, basically, he's a master con artist. That's the theme of the story, that he conned TNA into existence in the first place and got an energy company to fund his horrible wrestling product. Then he for some reason, was gone from that company for years, created another company called Global Force Wrestling that was not a company at all, didn't have any roster, and whenever he went to events and took pictures with random people like Stone Cold Steve Austin, he would tweet it out and say, hashtag join the force, and would list them in his roster of non-existent wrestlers.
So Global Force Wrestling, they're launching their own network?
Yeah, because... in a roundabout way, it's so weird because the story of Global Force is just weird. Like, okay, it was not a company originally. Then it was just a fake thing. Then he turned it into some gold bar selling scheme. And then he finally got a couple of people on the roster, filmed some tapings like a year ago, never put them out. And then in a roundabout way ended up selling this non-existent company to TNA, and then convinced TNA to change their name to the name of this previously non-existent company, and now he has left the company again without officially finishing the paperwork, and now Global Force probably is going to go away as a name while they're still they don't have any rights to it, but they're using it and they're trying to launch some network a la WWE Network with all old TNA content, which people are like clamoring for. So there you go. That's the Global Force story in a nutshell. But yeah, so yeah, I don't think there's anything else that's reaching out to me. But yeah, this is probably one of the slowest weeks we've had as far as news is concerned in our show, but I think we made it work. So with that, give out your social media details so people can tweet at you their interesting Irma stories.
My Twitter is at Anthony Hoffman. You can find me on Facebook or just search Anthony Hoffman. And my Instagram is Tony Hoffman, C-H-I, Tony Hoffman, Chai.
All right. And I am Zach Hughes. I am on the Twitter at Zach Reviews. Get it? It sounds kind of like my name. I'm on YouTube at youtube.com/Zach Hughes. Do you want to friend me on Facebook? And I've gotten a couple of these lately. I am on Facebook at Zach Hughes, at Z-A-C Hughes. Send a message or something and let me know like you are coming here from the podcast, because a lot of people are like, I don't know this person. I'm going to reject this request. So let me know where you're coming from. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Frustrated Grad. You can find us on YouTube and see the video version of this podcast on youtube.com/frustratedgrads. And you can check out the audio version of the podcast on, I'm so used to saying iTunes, but I've heard other podcasters just say Apple Podcasts. So you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, and wherever podcasts are sold. With that, I will say, hope you like what we're doing. If you like us, go to give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you really like us, then go to frustratedgrad.com and donate by clicking the PayPal button. With that, I will say thanks for watching if you're watching the video version of the podcast. Thanks for listening if you're listening to the audio. And that's all you get for today. All right. Now it's bonus time. How's that for echo for you this week?
Very natural. I like the use of your real vocal skills and not the the audio enhancement.
Yeah, I had to take a really deep breath for that because it's like I can do that on command. But, like, you know, it takes a lot of strain out of me. It's like when Roman Reigns cocks his fist before doing the Superman punch. He has to do it every time. And just like he can't do a spear without saying, ooh, ah, because that doesn't give it away at all.
Flips his hair.
That doesn't give it away at all. You never know when the spear is coming, especially when you hear the ooh, ah. Anyway, where are we going to call this episode? It was a lot of TV fall preview stuff.
I didn't mention the Raw and SmackDown is going to be live on Christmas and New Year's
because like that's the best thing for the wrestlers is to not be at home with their families.
They not just the wrestlers, but the crew
and the audience. I mean, at least you get to go there with your families. I mean, it doesn't make a difference to me. Like they could have pre-taped or whatever.
It exactly.
Doesn't make it.
Because I'm certainly not going to be watching fucking wrestling on Christmas.
I mean, I might because that's the kind of guy. Actually, I'll probably watch it the next day just like I do every episode of Raw. But, you know, that's a shame for those guys. But, okay.
Will you be going there with your family at the Rosemont or at the Allstate Arena?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think we're going to be driving to Rosemont on Christmas Day. That seems like a hassle that I don't want to deal with. So we talked a lot about fall TV, falling into television,
TV and Hurricane Irma.
Okay. How do we merge those two? Fall into the hurricane, Irma. Let me see. Irma TV. MTV Irma TV. Let me see what else we have here. Celebrity Big Irma. Let me see. The Deuce. Dropping a deuce on Irma.
The Deuce. The guy with the penis in his hand and the knife.
Never. That's not a knife.
That's a knife.
Crocodile Dundee 2 or 3. That should be a scene from there. That's not a knife. That's a penis. I don't know how you say it in Australian accent. Penis. No, penis. McNuggets for everyone.
It.
I feel like we should save it. Like I made my obligatory Chris Jericho joke when I did my It review, by the way. Like, let's talk about it. You're gonna get it. American Irma story. Let me see.
I like that American Irma story.
All right, there we go. So tweet us with the hashtag American Irma story or anything that stands out, or you can tweet hashtag knife penis or whatever you want. So with that, I'll say that's officially it. That's the end. Goodbye. Stay dry.